Our epistle reading this evening is from 1 Timothy, the second chapter. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. I want to reread a part of the epistle lesson that Pastor Ale read a moment ago. This is my own translation, and it's also just a little expanded and paraphrased to help us all understand it a little bit better. Tonight I want to talk about gender madness and gender gladness. Therefore, I wish that men would pray. I wish that men would pray. In every place, raising holy hands without wrath and arguing. Likewise, I wish women to adorn themselves in respectable, beautiful, sensible clothing, not with elaborate hairstyles, with gold and pearls and expensive clothing, but with what is proper for a woman who professes godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in quietness as she looks to God and to God's representatives. I do not want a woman to teach in a congregational worship service or override the teaching of men that I have called to teach, but to be in quietness. For Adam was not deceived by the devil, but the woman was deceived and fell out of line. And Adam, who was not doing his job of leading, also fell out of line by disobeying God. But she will be saved as she lives in God's will, serving him in her primary role as mother in faith and love and holiness, and for all of us, certainly, in self-control. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God says that he made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created us, male and female. So being created as male and female is a part of God's creation and a part of his order of this world. And that order is huge. And it covers everything from the plants who reproduce according to their own kind, the birds, the fish, the animals, the celestial bodies. Nothing in the universe is accidental. It all was designed, and it all was designed for a purpose, and that purpose was life. But when the lie of sin entered into the world, this order started to break down, and the order broke down particularly in the human beings. God countered that lie with the truth of his love, a sacrifice, and above all, a future forgiveness in Christ. So today, all of us have before us two choices. One choice is to go into more disorder and destruction and death. The other is to seek the restoration of the good order of God's grace in his creation and in his salvation. So let's talk about gender madness a little bit. Deep down, this is all about a desire on our part to be our own God. And so we use the things God has given to us in the wrong ways. We use our strength to hurt rather than to help. We use our intellect to tear down rather than to build up. We use our words to lie, to deceive, to abuse, rather than to encourage, to speak the truth in love. And this can also happen with our sexuality. With our sexuality, we break through barriers to please ourselves. And following that pattern of tumbling disorder, we also find ourselves decreasing life rather than increasing life. Now, sometimes all of these things are done out of willful rebellion. We know this is wrong, but we do it anyway. At other times, it's a matter of simply refusing to seek the control over disordered desires, a control that God would give us and that God would help us with. Here are some examples, not a complete list, but some examples of the kind of disordered desire of gender madness we see going on around us at all times. Machoism is a kind of gender madness. It's the idea that men, with their sexuality and with their strength, can please themselves at the expense of women. Feminism is gender madness. It's a kind of female machoism, where women think they can do just as the men do and behave as badly as they behave in competition with them for that. Adultery is a kind of gender madness. We know that God wants sex to be in marriage. We see that clearly in Genesis and the creation of Adam and Eve, but we seek it outside of marriage anyway. Pornography is a kind of gender madness. We know that sexuality is for humans, one human with another human being, and yet we seek pleasure for ourselves with something that's not human, with an image. Homosexuality, another kind of gender madness, where we seek to receive from another man what God wants to give us through a woman, or vice versa. And transgenderism is also gender madness, where we deny our creation as a man or a woman and seek to be, according to our disordered desires, something that we are simply not. All of those things are part of the brokenness of this world. And as I said, sometimes it's willful rebellion, and sometimes it's just a refusal to restrain the broken desires that sin brought into the world. All of us are guilty of things on that list, whether we have done them or desired to do them or have approved of those who do those kinds of things. There's a madness in this world, a gender madness, as well as other kinds of madness, all brought into the world because of sin. We can run with it, we can be destroyed along with it, or we can seek the restoration of order that God gives us in His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to, before I talk about gender gladness, though, let's take a moment just to think a little bit about the background to this letter that we just heard from Paul writing to Pastor Timothy, pastor of a church in Ephesus, a large church and one of the strongest of the early churches that was planted by the apostle. Paul wrote this letter 2,000 years ago, and yet it's amazing how applicable it is for us even to this very day. It tells us that two things in this world have not changed. One is the problem of sin and selfishness. The other is the promise of God's love and His grace. Many people in the city of Ephesus listened to Paul's preaching and teaching there. He spent a long time there, and they became Christians, and they were baptized, and they left their lifestyle of the Ephesians, a lifestyle that was centered especially around an ancient goddess known as Diana. Diana was the goddess of the woods, the goddess of the countryside, the goddess of childbirth, the goddess of women. She's portrayed as a huntress with a bow and a quiver and hounds as she's running around in the woods hunting after deer. Diana is a kind of nature worship, a kind of worship that's very common to human beings and been common to all human beings through all centuries. And that is this temptation, this desire to worship the creation rather than the Creator. She was a kind of Mother Nature God. And the people of Ephesus went tumbling along their way without restraint, without boundaries, and without any guidance from a Creator, because they had fallen in love with the creation itself. And all of these nature gods and nature religions that go all the way back to the Old Testament Baals and all the way forward to our modern-day evolutionists operate with this commandment, and that is, if it feels good, do it. Either forgetting about God or willfully denying God, we live instead by our own disordered desires. Now, the followers of Diana were not happy with the Apostle Paul and with his teachings and with other people turning back to the Creator and finding ways to restrain the sinfulness of that had entered into the creation. And they rioted against Paul and against those fellow Christians of St. Paul. In another place, Paul says that in Ephesus he faced beasts. We don't know whether that happened literally or whether he was just speaking about angry men. But the reality is, if you tell a nature worshiper today that you need to worship the Creator instead of the creation and you need to restrain sinful desires, you will get a violent reaction. That's exactly what happened in Ephesus and exactly the same kinds of things that are going on in our world today. But God has a better way, and that's gender gladness that Paul beautifully explains and illustrates. Again, not completely, it's a short letter. He briefly goes over a few things that describe what it's like for a person to be reunited with their Creator, to live, as he calls it, a quiet and peaceable life because of God, the one mediator, God and man, Christ Jesus, who gave his life as a ransom for all to bring us back into that good order of God's righteousness and of God's love and his goodness. He begins by pointing to men and the change that this causes in the minds and the hearts of men. He says that I wish that men everywhere would pray. That is to say, he wants men to be spiritual leaders in this world. He wants men to take their hands, which we normally think of as tools for work or maybe even as weapons. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that in their own time and place and way. But beyond that, way above that, is to use our lives, our bodies and souls in knowing our Creator and recognizing Him and lifting up our hands in prayer to Him. As a man looks to God and is led by God, he is able to restrain those lower desires that would destroy him and destroy others. He then speaks of women. As men are called to be spiritual leaders, he calls for the women to be spiritual supporters. One of their gifts is beauty. God made women to be beautiful, to be attractive to men and to children. And he wanted men, or wanted women to dress beautifully, but not excessively, not taking that gift and making it the most important thing in life, but rather to live in godliness, to live with holiness, with an inner beauty, as Peter describes it, a gentle and quiet spirit that Peter says is precious to the Lord. He also wanted those women to let the men be spiritual leaders and to let the men lead the way in church and in worship and to support them in that. He had no way said that women should not do other things in life and have careers and be successful in different ways. Look at this list of great women in the Bible who had done wonderful things in living out their vocations in the Lord. Eve, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Leah, Miriam, Hannah, Rahab, Ruth, Jael, Mary, Martha, Priscilla, Phoebe, and above all, Mary, the mother of our Lord. Just as he wanted men to be the spiritual leaders, he wanted women to be spiritual supporters. And together in this harmony and in this order, good things will get done and good things will happen in this world. Paul reminds us how that disorder came into the world, how Satan went after Eve. And if there was ever to be a debate about what God said, it was Adam's role to be involved in that debate. But he was not there for whatever reason, we do not know, falling down, it seems, on his job. And together, as Satan attacked the order of God and turned it into disorder, with Adam and Eve fell into sin. But God quickly restored that order with his forgiveness and above all, a promise of a Savior who would be, he said, a son of Eve. Now, Adam had named Eve with that name, which comes from the Hebrew word for life, because Eve literally is the mother of all living, as Adam said. Not only was Eve now to be the mother of all living, but she was to be the mother eventually of the Savior, certainly along with the Virgin Mary as well. That is to say, through childbirth, not through nature itself, but through God's coming into this world in childbirth, in his own Son, Jesus Christ, to be that mediator between God and man, indeed, the whole world would be saved from this broken disorder of sin. It's not easy to this day to live out our lives as men and women. We still struggle because that disorder is always trying to come back and take over again. And the world around us certainly rejects us if we seek to worship the Creator and not the creation. If we seek to restrain those wrong desires in this life, the world hates that and will label us with every kind of evil thing that they can say to us. But we have a gladness with our gender and with everything else that God has given to us. In Christ, man and woman are saved. This is our gladness rather than madness. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. O Lord God, thank you for your patience and your great love for this world that turned against you. Thank you for bringing your Son into this world to save us all. And we pray that you would continue to keep us steadfast in the good order of life, that you would bring more and more people into that order as well through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.